This is the way that we basically see each other at this point. So, we've been doing a lot of learning. We've been doing a lot of kids learning. So, Baruch Hashem. I would like to just go over a few things for Pesach. Ayel is going to chime in more often. Especially this year, there's a number of updates that are happening literally by the hour that I want to let everybody know about, and hopefully alleviate some of the stress as we approach Pesach. Thank you to all of those that I'm going to put everybody on mute. If you have a question, you can even raise your hands, or you can put the question. There's actually a little way to ask a question, or you can just text me, and we'll hopefully get to most of the questions. But I want to just thank everybody that has offered to help and is doing amazing things on behalf of the of everybody in the community. The most important thing right now is to be safe and to stay home. And if you need anything and you're nervous about going out, please let me know. There are people that are shopping for everybody else, and you don't have to feel embarrassed or nervous. We're here to help in any way possible for you, for your kids, for anybody. And including any marriage counseling, as I imagine there's a lot of together time. So if you need it, Judy's nodding already, Judy. I mean, come on. Give me 1 minute, Judy. Okay, so let's do the following. We're going to go through in order as we approach Pesach, and tomorrow night we're going to talk about the Seder and how to run the Seder. There's a lot of people that are running the Seder for the first time. That'll be tomorrow night. So let's do a few things. First of all, in terms of people buying things for Pesach, we're just going to start. In terms of buying things for Pesach, this is the time to start buying things for Pesach. You want to say what people should be buying?
Yes, it is. You're talking about pots, pans, any basic necessities that you need, peelers, pots. I said pots. What else?
Good.
What else? I didn't make a list. Mir ruined my list. I'm sorry.
But I will tell you that just today, there was an update that I would like to share with you in terms of Tfilas Kalim. Obviously, all the things that we're buying need tefillah, except if it's ceramic or something that doesn't ever come in contact with food. But any pot or pan obviously needs tefillah's kalim. However, I know there was a recommendation today that people should still go, and there's chlorine, you should wear gloves, and that was the update even I sent out 2 days ago. But today, I spoke to Rav Schechter, and this is what we're doing in this house, but you can choose to do what you want. Things that you are going to buy, when you purchase them with the intention you don't want to own them right now. Even though you're going to buy them, they're going to be in your house. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and therefore they won't be yours until later down the road, and therefore you do not have to tovel them. In addition, things that you bought already that you have not gone to the mikvah for, what you can do is you can call up a few people, and you can sort of conference them in. You could Zoom them in. You could just do a FaceTime with a few people, non-relatives. Yeah. And just say, I am making these pots and pans ownerless. The same way you do with chametz, just say, these pots and pans are no longer mine. And then they are not yours. You do not have to bring them to the mikvah. You should realize this is very much a bidyeven, but we do not want anybody leaving their homes. We don't want anybody going to the keli mikvah. However, mark those pots or pans or silverware, because when the time comes, and Amir Tzashem should be tomorrow, but when this is all over, you will need to tovel them. Those pots and pans will need to be brought to the mikvah, so you do have to make sure about that. Another thing, just in terms of going out, today was a letter sent out by the Aguda, Lakewood, everybody suggesting don't go anywhere. That includes clothes shopping, anything you don't really need for Pesach, you shouldn't be going out. You shouldn't really be going out to buy. And on top of that, in terms of Bior Chametz, most likely at this point, there will not be a public burning of chametz. We're trying to figure out different ways to do it, but there are other ways that I'll share with you in a week or so about burning chametz. Okay, in terms of getting ready for Pesach, it's important to remember that Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning. It is not making yourself crazy and making your kids crazy. Every single thing's got to get cleaned. The whole house has to get turned upside down. Pesach cleaning is really getting rid of chametz. So in terms of scheduling,
I think it's better to, if there's like the time allows, to start like major cleaning now. And, you know, if you have the time or your kids are bored or you're bored or whatever it is, to do like the heavier cleaning now. And then right before Pesach, right before you're going to turn over, you could just do another lighter cleaning, but then it'll be a much easier cleaning if you did the heavier cleaning now when you're not as stressed about actually making Pesach this minute.
Correct. Also, we don't know if in a week or two from now, things are going to change. And they're really not, who knows? So the best is to get whatever you can get done now, vacuuming of the rooms, in terms of the kitchen. First of all, you only have to clean where chametz goes into. If you can't get behind the fridge, even if you know there's chametz there, it's not accessible. You don't have to make yourself crazy. If you want to, in your kitchen, not take everything out. You want to leave everything in your kitchen cabinets, and you're going to dump all of your Pesach stuff on a table, that's fine. You don't have to clean out every cabinet if you do not plan on using those cabinets. Just tape them up right before Pesach, put a sign on the door that says, this is Pesach, this is chametzik. You can leave it closed. You do not have to clean out everything.
Also, cleaning sprays are really good because it makes it ain ra'u lechi laskelev. So spray it all.
Spray it all, and then you're good. That's it. You don't have to clean out everything. In terms of even getting rid of chametz, some people have the minhag that they try to get rid of their what we call chametz gamor, breads, crackers, things that are really chametz, and they sell whatever is left. This year, we are recommending people do not do that. Do not try to get rid of all of your food. You should keep what you have. Even if it's not your minhag this year, sell whatever you have. You'll sell whatever is in your house, even if it's chametz gamor. Even if you had 10 loaves of bread, save it in the freezer. It's okay in your freezer if there is a section of your freezer that's chametz still. Right before Pesach, first you should clean it down. Right before Pesach, you put a paper towel or something over it in your freezer. You know that's chametz, that's sold. It's not yours. You don't have to schlep it somewhere else or bring it somewhere. You don't want anybody leaving their homes.
Or put it in bags. Double bag it.
Even if you're going shopping now and you have Pesach stuff, leave it in the bag until it's ready. In terms of the we'll get to the fridge in a second. When it comes to floors, floors just have to be washed down. It's not like the olden days. The Gemara talks about when they used to have earthenware floors of like dirt and there were cracks and things would get inside. You have to really clean it. Nowadays, you don't really have to clean it. Just wash it down once. And that's it. You have to remember, though, that if you're eating, once you kosher, which might be, the week of Pesach, and you're eating everything in the dining room or wherever it may be, to make sure that you do one more cleaning and one more wiping down of the floor after your last chametz, either it's day before Pesach, Erev Pesach, whatever it may be. When it comes to a refrigerator, there's no need for liners in a refrigerator. What you should do is clean it out. Wash it down, wipe it down once, make sure there's no what we call ba'ain. You just don't want real crumbs lying around or something sticky that you have no idea where it came from that nobody wanted to think about that you ignored since the last Pesach. Just clean it out, wipe it down, and then you're good. If you come with Pesach stuff over the next few weeks, just put it in a bag. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on. The other thing in terms of getting ready, we can do it. We'll move to kashering. So once assuming your house is cleaned, you want to talk about when the person would want to turn over?
So what I find is easiest, but obviously you all have to do what works for you, is to start on Friday afternoon.
For this year's schedule.
For this year's schedule, based on this year, is we'll start cleaning the kitchen, getting rid of anything that I know I don't need for Shabbos or I'm not going to be using. I'm going to move the KitchenAid off of the kitchen counter. We'll move the microwave, anything that I know I'm not going to be needing for Shabbos, we'll start getting rid of. And then Saturday night, we'll be ready to like roll up our sleeves and really start like a good cleaning in the kitchen so that we could start the kashering process.
Right. As long as everything is, when you kasher your kitchen, you want to leave everything without hot water for 24 hours. Shabbos, as a good reminder, is you can never use hot water on Shabbos. So that's a good reminder. And therefore you have 24 hours built in. So get everything ready if you want. You can do it earlier. But if you get everything off your counters, the most important thing is to get rid of the major kinds of chametz. So when you kosher your kitchen, everything's got to be off the counter. And that includes cookbooks, and that includes, anything else, paper towel racks, pitchers, whatever. Everything's got to get cleared off. And then you're ready to kosher. So this year, there will not be koshering for Kiddush cups or silverware or things like that in any public setting. The CRC doesn't have it. We're not having it. Shuls aren't having it. So it's not that difficult to kosher things on your own. And I send out a video today. I'm going to send out hopefully later tonight a resource page for all the Pesach questions, Torah websites you can go to. But just very simply, when you want to kosher, you can watch a great video by Rabbi Eisenbach that I'll send out again. You want to take a boiling pot. This is just for silverware. And if you're not sure if something can get kashered, ask me. If things are two pieces, usually, we don't kosher them. If they're loose, we don't kosher them.
What about Kiddush cups?
Kiddush cups, assuming that they're just, you know, a regular Kiddush cup, that they can be koshered. What you want to do is you're going to take a boiling pot of water. The smartest thing to do is just to wait until you're kosher for Pesach, because you don't really want to start doing this when your whole kitchen is not ready for Pesach. Take a boiling pot of water as it continues to boil. Once it boils, you can't turn it down. Leave it boiling. You drop one thing at a time. Now, it's boiling, so you can take it out with your hands. You take it out either with tongs or with a glove if you have one of those, you know, fancy rubber gloves that people have.
Heavy duty
gloves. You take it out. Then you wash it off. It's kosher. It has to stay in there just by itself for 1 second, fully immersed. Take it back out. That's what we do for silver, for stainless steel, for things like that are koshered in that way. And that you can do for anything that you want. You have to be careful when you start doing things like chicken scissors or things that are multiple pieces and they're loose. So just text me, ask me the question, and we can go from there. In terms of the sinks and the rest of the kitchen, when you want to kosher your countertops, it's not as difficult as it sounds. Once everything is off the kitchen counters, everything, first wipe it down one more time, spray with some method or whatever it is to make sure all the real bain, all the real crumbs and sticky stuff is off. But if you're a normally clean person, it should be. Clean everything off. You could do a few boiling pots of water. What you want to do is you want to take the boiling pot. Once it's boiled, then you can turn it off. And then you want to pour it directly over every part of your counter. You need two people. One to kosher and one to use a towel to dry it up right away. The second it hits the counter, it's kosher. That inch, that whatever that is, that's kosher. But the water being poured has to hit every single spot. Not that it spreads out. It's what's called in halacha, iroi. It needs to be poured over that spot. So two important things. You have to go really up and down the whole counter. Make sure everything got hot water spilled directly from the pot. And second of all, you want to make sure that you try not to do it and stop. You want to go in a slow fashion so that it continues to keep being poured in a what we call iroi, just with a flow. You want to make sure that you're stopping the water from rolling over the countertops into drawers or into anything else that might get damaged like wood. But assuming you dry it up right away, you should be good.
But be careful. It's really hot. Like even I really follow, I'm the towel girl, but even the towel girl has to be careful.
Yeah, it's very hot. Someone asked me today about a China sink. I'm very sorry. Luckily, it wasn't anybody in our show. China sinks cannot be koshered. And you have to get some type of insert. So if you have that kind of china or a porcelain kind of thing, please let me know. But if any that's sinks. When it comes to the countertops, so we're good. That's the granite, most countertops. The sink is the same thing. Boiling water, you cannot use the sink for hot water for 24 hours. If you had used it for 24 hours, you have to wait another 24 hours. So put a sign up, put a little piece of tape, do it right after Shabbos so that you're good to go. And then the same thing, you boil water, you pour it over every inch of the sink, the milchik side, the fleishik side. If you have a faucet that stretches out, pull it out and pour water on that part of it. You want to try and even turn the faucet a little bit up so you can pour the hot water directly into where the water is dispensed out of. As long as water is hitting every single inch, that's considered kosher. So that's in terms of countertops. That is in terms of a person's sinks. In terms of refrigerators, again, no liners are needed. Wipe it down and you're good to go.
You might have to do a few rounds of pots depending on your size of the kitchen and the counters to get all the areas covered.
And let me just, before we go to ovens, let's just discuss burners, because I got a few questions today about burners. I'll share with you two different ways to do burners, to do your stovetop. This one way is, again, make sure that it's cleaned. The whole thing has to be really clean on top. There's a lot of crumbs. It's just got to be wiped clean. Then what you can do is you have two options. You can either just turn it onto high for 30 minutes, each burner. Alternatively, what I've done is, hold on, I'll show you. I took an amazing picture before. Hold on. You can take a cookie sheet. You can hold the cookie sheet over the burner with a glove for turn it on high for 10 minutes. It does not burn. It will look like it's burning there. It does not. I have not burned down a house yet once, Bli Ayin Hara. I'm doing this for many years. One burner at a time. Even if you're just leaving them on high for a half hour, do not do more than one at a time. It's just a lot of fumes and a lot of gas. It's not smart. So leave a window open. The reason I like this method better is that it stretches out the fire farther, and it's quicker. It's 10 minutes because the fire is being spread. At the same time, everything in the middle, like here, in the middle grate and around the burners, all of that has to be covered with aluminum foil. That is very important because that's not really being kashered. So the places where you're around your burners, do not go too close. You take industrial strength aluminum foil, heavy duty, just wrap it around, make a huge hole for the burner, just so that in case your pot or something touches that area, it's not touching anything that's chametz. In addition, if you have like a griddle in the middle of your oven cannot be kasher because that griddle fire does not get hot.
The stovetop.
So what you want to do is you want to just, if you have it and you want to put a pot or something down on top of that, just cover that a little bit in some aluminum foil. So that if you put a pot there, yeah, Judy, hold on. Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
If you have sealed burners, what's the difference between a sealed gas burner?
Like an electric?
No, not electric, like a gas cooktop, like a, what's this called?
Norm left.
No, Norm's here. What's the name of our cooktop? What is this?
Norm knows the name of your cooktop.
You do. What's the name of the cooktop?
Thermidor.
No, it's not a Thermidor.
All right, I'll come back to you later.
Sorry. You can take a picture.
Take a picture and send it to
don't
me.
Don't worry, it's not Thanksgiving. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so now we've done kitchen counters. We've done countertops, oven, sinks, and stovetops. In terms of ovens, this is very important. If you have a self-cleaning oven, so there are two things you need to know. You don't have to really clean it. You can, if you leave the grates inside, there is a potential they do get discolored. Just giving you the oven racks inside. You do not have to do it for the full self-cleaning mode. The full self-cleaning mode on some ovens ranges from 4 to 5 hours. That's a lot of hours. You can do it even for 3 hours. 3.5 hours. You don't do it for less than 3, but if your oven has 5, and someone told me yesterday, oven has 5, 5 is too long, and there are concerns that ovens break when they do self-cleaning. So 3, 3.5, as long as you self-clean that, you're fine. Some people take their stovetop grates and put them in the oven when they self-clean. That is fine, and you don't have to kasher after that. It will discolor them. So before you run to do that, I wouldn't recommend it. I would just recommend leaving them on high or using a cookie sheet.
Unless
you don't care and you just live life like that and you're just wild and crazy. Let's move on. Yeah, do you want to talk about menus first before I go into it? I have a bunch of Shilohs that I'm going to get to that are relevant for a bunch of people to ask, but do you want to talk about
menu? Okay. It's probably a good time now to start menu planning just because who knows what's going to be and what's going to be open for now. I have a lot of recipes that if anybody wants me to send, they can share. I have them typed up. I have, you know, my favorite cookies. I got Judy's sponge cake. I got crumb cakes. I got chickens. I got matzah farfels, apple cookies. I really have a lot of stuff. So if anybody wants, please let me know. Naomi Nachman has on her website, when you go to naominachman.com, can you screen share that? A template which shows each meal that we have to make this Yontif. So it's not a bad idea just to give yourself, you don't need to, you know, have an exact menu or follow it exactly, but just to give yourself an idea of all the meals that you will be making so you know, how much food you will be needing. Also remember, it's just our families this year. You don't need to go crazy. You know what everybody likes. You don't need to overdo it. Like just, you know, you can keep it simple, keep it easy. Obviously, it's always harder because Pesach is a time that you do need, you know, more food, but it you don't need to go crazy. There you go.
Well, that's good. Okay, so we'll move on to just a number of Shilohs that either came in over the Google form or people just texted and asked over the last few days. A few people asked about grills. A barbecue grill is kosherable, but you do need to have new grates. If you have new grates, then let me know, and I'll tell you the next steps to koshering your barbecue grill. If you don't have new grates, it cannot be koshered. So if you have new grates, let me know. I'll tell you how the best way to finish koshering them are. If you don't have new grates, then it's difficult to kosher. A warming drawer. A warming drawer is a big debate amongst different Pesach guides. If you want one day you're bored, take out all the Pesach guides and find different arguments and machloksim. It's wonderful. You get a point for everyone you find. Everyone's right, and if you have the right kind of guides. But you should know, first of all, the CRC guide, everything is online. AskCRC.org, amazing website. I will be sharing later also in terms of toothpaste. In terms of toothpaste and everything, which always people want to know. But warming drawers. The CRC says you can kosher warming drawers. The way to kosher warming drawer is a little tricky. It's doable. But what you want to do is you don't want to use it for 24 hours. The problem with the warming drawer is that warming drawers don't get hot enough. That's why they're called warming drawers. They're not called cooking drawers. So when you want to kosher, it has to be hot enough. Warming drawers don't get that hot. So you buy one of those like Sterno cases. And you leave the door open to the warming drawer just a little bit so that all the fumes don't stay in there. And you put in about a 2 to 3 hour can, and that will get it hot enough. That's how you can kosher your warming drawer. That's warming drawer. In terms of urns, a number of shilas about koshering urns. If your urn, your hot water urn or hot pot, I think people call it, it's called an urn. Let's be honest here. If you ever heat up food on top of that, or you've ever put anything else in there, you can't kosher. If you warmed up challah or food or kugels for some reason, you can't kosher. If you're not sure, let me know. If you can buy another one, they're available. But if you've never done any of these things, it stays away from your chametz and away from everything, for Schwartz, Shlita, Paskins, that you can use it. Just wipe it down once. You don't have to kosher anything. You can go ahead and you're allowed to use it. In terms of steamers, koshering steamers are an interesting shiloh. To kosher with a steamer, you need two requirements. It has to be able to put out a little bit of water, not just steam. And it's got to get between 200 and 210 degrees. Most steamers that you buy at Bed Bath or somewhere only does one of those two things. It either doesn't get that hot, or it gets hot enough but doesn't put out water. You can't just use steam. The halacha is kibolo kachpolto. In order to remove the flavor, I have to do it in the same way that it went in. So if you want to have really, there's industrial sized steamers that can do it. So if you have one of those and it has water and tells you the temperature, you can use those. But if not, then you should probably not use them because it might not do the same job as pouring boiling water. In terms of a microwave, microwaves can be koshered. You want to clean it out. There's often a lot of things in microwaves. The glass plate cannot be used. The glass plate has to be removed. You can buy a new one, but you cannot. You can't use one that was in there. You don't need the glass plate, but if you want, you got to clean it out well, and then leave a styrofoam cup in there for about 10 minutes. Let it run. Let the steam build up. Sometimes I recommend doing it twice. Move the cup around the other time. You need it probably just once, and then your microwave is kosher.
But you really got to clean a microwave because yes. They always, stuff splatters and.
Yeah. In terms of some product questions, all shampoos are good. There was an issue like many years ago with certain shampoos. Those are all fine. Shampoos do not need to be a kosher for Pesach. In terms of deodorants, any kind of cologne, perfume, spray deodorants, as long as they're made in the United States, they're fine. The reason being the following. There are issues with, just a little bit, 2 seconds of history, because I think it's fascinating. The issue with all of these things is that when the government came out during the times of alcohol and all these different issues, they came out with something called a sin tax. A sin tax meant that on alcoholic companies, they made them pay a lot of money if they're producing alcohol. So deodorants and colognes and perfume companies said, that's not fair. We have alcohol in our products, but we're not, why should we get a tax? They said, fine, as long as you denature your alcohol and you make it unfit to drink, then it's fine. So the problem is that Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that it is possible if you were to take those things to a lab, you would be able to take out the alcohol. So some cautious organizations say it's fine, don't worry about it, doesn't need to. We're machmir, but a few years ago we realized that anything made in the United States, colognes, deodorants, that alcohol is not wheat-based, it is corn-based. Corn-based alcohol is only kitniyos. And we're not machmir for kitniyos in this kind of situation. Baruch Hashem, we're not in a situation where we have to be eating kitniyos for Pesach. So as long as, you know, we can still go to the store and do all these things, we can't eat them, but we're makel in so many other areas, including deodorant. Good reminder that stick deodorant is never allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's just a friendly reminder about deodorants. Parchment paper needs a kosher for Pesach symbol. That is not a chumrah. There is a lining on top of the parchment paper that is chametz. So you need to make sure that it's kosher for Pesach. Lipsticks. This is the time of year. I know as much about lipsticks as I do at any other time of the year. Go to askcrc.org, and they have a lipstick searcher for you. Or you can just text me and I can look it up. I have another guide as well about what lipsticks are good. You should get new ones for Pesach. I bought my own already because I don't want to use the ones I've been using. But because it's been used and it's been on your lips, you want to get a new one. Frozen foods. Frozen fruit is acceptable without a kosher or Pesach symbol as long as it's just fruit. Kosher, frozen vegetables, because they're processed differently, do need a kosher or Pesach symbol. Milk and eggs as well should be bought before Pesach. There is still a concern this year with buying them on Pesach, so buy them before Pesach. It does not need a kosher or Pesach symbol. Buy them for Pesach. There is a concern that there might be some type of shortage. It hasn't happened yet, but in other cities, they're saying that there were shortages on eggs. So if you're out and you have, or you buy and you realize before Pesach, maybe you have extra, let me know. I'm sure people might need, but buy them all before Pesach.
What about frozen orange juice?
About what?
Frozen orange juice.
Frozen orange juice. That is a good question. I have to look that one up, but I'm pretty sure. You mean like in the canister?
Cans of frozen orange juice in the past were kosher without a special kosher lepesach.
They were concentrated.
Concentrated.
Oh, those. Yes, frozen conjure oranges does need kosher Pesach.
Does
need it, yeah. Yeah, another interesting point, because our kids have been home a lot. Play-Doh is not allowed to be used on Pesach. Play-Doh is really chametz. There's other issues on Shabbos with Play-Doh in terms of forming, but in terms of Pesach, it is actual chametz, and therefore really should be avoided to be used on Pesach because it has chametz inside of it. A few people had asked me last week, we talked about Nashir, and last night someone asked me about matzah. Matzah, in terms of using the handmade matzah for the Leil HaSeder. From what we've heard, and there's keeping updates, the hand shmur matzah is fine. Partly because it was made a long time ago. So when you bite into it, you'll know that it was not made in the last 2 months. It's made starting already Hanukkah time. From what we've been told, there's no issue with eating the matzah. If someone is nervous, and they do not want to use hand shmur matzah, you can use the square matzah for the Leil HaSeder. It is preferable still to use the hand matzah for Leil HaSeder itself. The rest of Pesach, you can use whatever you want. But the Leil HaSeder, you should try to use shmur. But if you're nervous and you're allowed to be, then you can use the hand, the regular machine square matzah for Leil HaSeder. Those were some of the shilas that came up. I will, if anybody has any other questions for now,
yeah,
I
have a question. Regarding dishwashers. Did you go through dishwashers?
So we did not go through dishwashers yet. I can tell you what the CRC's policy is about dishwashers. The CRC says that they're not in favor of koshering dishwashers. Other guides are in favor of it, so there is room to be makel of one really when needed. We did not kosher our dishwasher, but there is room to be lenient. I think the OU says it's okay. You can call me afterwards. I can tell you how to do it. But that would be dishwashers. If somebody does need it and they feel like it's going to really impact because they're home at whatever, there would be very much room to be lenient, and I would be very much okay with it. So just to let me know, we can go over it. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. How about, can glasses be koshered, drinking glasses? Because I think we saw somewhere this year that...
No. Yeah, what do you say?
I'll just leave it with that question. Is it okay to kosher glasses? Like, you know, fill it up with fruits? No.
So we generally do not. If it was used for cold, we allow it. If it was used only for cold, we allow it. If it was used for hot, we do not allow it. And especially, it's a kosher glass, and to put it in boiling hot water is not going to turn out well. So it's if it was only used for cold and never put in a dishwasher, then there's a way to kosher them. But if it was used for anything with hot or in a dishwasher, then I would not kosher them.
What about anybody toothpaste? Else? Did we get to toothpaste?
Okay, so toothpaste. I can tell you some of the good toothpaste right now. Hold on.
Mouthwash.
Yeah.
Oh, so I just had mouthwash.
Okay, so mouthwashes, I'll send this out an email later today. Almost all mouthwashes are fine. Scope is fine. Listerine is fine. My Orajel, My Little Pony is fine. Michael, I know you were asking about that earlier. That's fine. And so those are all fine. In terms of toothpaste, hold on. It's the Fancy Schmancy Guide, 51. In terms of toothpaste, Colgate's are fine. Orajel is fine. Prevident is fine. They're all fine. They're all mostly, Not Crest.
Not Crest.
There's usually one type of Crest that's bad, so just buy the other 1,000 brands that are out there. And Michael, the Orajel Elmo Tooth and Gum Cleanser is also good. So we should put that down. Yeah, okay, good. You know what? I can unmute all of you. We'll see how this works. If you have a question, you can let me know.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What is it down there?
Who is that?
I love you. Thank you. Can
you hear me?
All right. Thank you, Ricky. I'll put you back on mute.
Not right now.
If you have a question, you can raise your hand in the screen. Hold on a second. Or you can just put the actual.
I unmuted it. Sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead, Levines.
Hi. If one does not want to choival at this time, is there any way of?
Yeah, you can. What you can do now is if you haven't bought the product yet, the whatever it is, you can just have in mind when you buy it that you don't want to own it. You want it to be ownerless. Okay. And that would be okay. Or if you've bought it already, you can just announce to three people that are not related to you that it is not your yours anymore, and then that would be okay as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Sensodyne is fine, Sherry.
What about
hold on? Yes.
Whole food brands. Like health food brands of toothpaste. I don't want to belabor the point.
Oh, if you have a specific brand, let me know and I can try to do research.
Okay.
Yeah, Racheli.
Okay, two things. First of all, what about like if you bought meat already, it's already in your freezer, but it's not in a bag, but it's like wrapped because it's like,
that's it fine. Comes wrapped. That's fine.
Okay, and then what about if you already have eggs, but it's like they've just been sitting in your fridge?
That's fine. If you have some now, you might want to just put it in a bag. But if you bought it already and it's been there and you haven't, like, sprinkled bread over it, that would be fine.
Okay, and then, I just got a text from my sister. Also, electric stovetops can't be koshered, right?
Electric can be koshered the same way. Electric can be koshered. It's glass that's a little more complicated. But electric just tires.
Aren't most electric glass?
No, there's glass stovetops that are, like, a little more difficult to kosher. There's ways to kosher them also.
Oh, rather?
Yeah, one second. Someone just asked, when you kosher your oven, an oven has to be 24 hours, but not if you're doing self-clean. If you're doing a self-clean of your oven to kosher it, does not have to wait 24 hours. You could just do it. You could make something right now, and then you could kosher it, and you don't have to wait 24 hours because it's self-cleaning. Yeah, any other questions?
I think she just goes to the
floor.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. With a blech, a platza that's glass, I know normally I just try to buy, I have a different one normally for Pesach, but I don't seem to find my second one. Can you somehow use it if you cover it with aluminum foil?
A hot plate or a blech we prefer not to kosher.
You plug in, like the.
Yeah, so a hot plate, as long as you don't use it for 24 hours, you leave it on the highest setting for half an hour, and then you have to cover it with foil when you use it. Okay. So let me just quickly, before we continue, let me just again run through the koshering of everything in the kitchen.
And the order.
And the order. Where am I starting? Okay, so we clean the kitchen. We get everything out of the way. We remove all the chametz. If you want to just dump everything into one place, for example, in our garage, if you've seen our garage, we have lots of chametz, which we're not selling. Before
we
Pesach,
are selling.
We're selling. Yeah. We're not eating it on Pesach. But we just cover it. So you can put all of your chametz into one closet or one ping pong table and just cover it. You're going to include that in your sale. My Mechiras Chametz form is online. It's on the website. I was emailed out yesterday. This year, we're doing everything digital. Everything is online. It's a lot of crazy. I am in awe and respect of my Rebbeim who have literally not like doctors and have not slept in 3 weeks answering Shilohs nonstop. Gina, we'll get to that. So we clean everything out, remove everything. To kosher the stovetop, clean off the stovetop, clean off everything, make sure there's no crumbs. You can either turn each burner on for a half hour on a tie setting or take an aluminum cookie sheet, place it on top. You don't have to hold it because leave the cookie sheet. 10 minutes, turn it off, you're koshered, one burner at a time. Everything else on the stovetop should be covered in foil. Your stovetop will look like a big aluminum foil sheet with holes punched out for the burners. If you see that the fire is catching to the burners, just cut out a bigger space. We just want to make sure that the tinfoil, the area that you're not koshering is covered by something, because that's really where all your food is happening, and we don't want a hot pot or pan to touch an area that was not koshered for Pesach. So that's your stovetop, and now you're good. Your oven, you can self-clean it.
Now we're going to do sink and count.
Now we're going to do sink. Okay.
Ovens are nice. Sometimes you want to do them overnight or leave them for last. You could self-clean them. We firmly suggest opening a window if you are self-cleaning it overnight because it has a really strong smell and
a lot of fumes.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to do the sink. So again, do not use the hot water for 24 hours. Then you want to boil a pot of water. Again, the pot that you are using does not have to be a chametz pot or a non-chametz pot. We tend to use a Pesach pot because we're really just kashering once everything is cleaned off of Pesach. But you can bring a pot, boil a pot of water. It's going to take you a few times. You might want to boil a few pots of water. And when you do the sink, every area of your sink should be covered with while you're pouring it. Every area. You might have to do it 2 or 3 times because it's not just that it hits one area and spreads out. Every area should be hit directly from the pouring flow. That's the halacha of kashering.
You said it doesn't have to be a Pesachic pot, though?
Does not have to be a Pesachic pot. Did I say something wrong?
No.
So you want to make sure every little bit. So that's why it might take you a few times. Just go slow. You want to get your faucet, your hot, your cold, the hose that comes out, stretch it out, hold it open a little bit, pour some hot water inside. If you want to remove, it's called the aerator, I think, that's inside. You can buy them on Amazon for like $6. Some people remove that.
Not everybody likes self-cleaning overnight. So maybe if you want to do it during the day, if it's your first time, then that might be a good idea.
Sure. Go for it. And that's your sink and that's your stovetop and then your sink. But again, it's just important to remember that the hot water has to be everywhere, not spread out, but really, really hit everywhere. Then when it comes to your countertops, the same thing is true. Clean off everything, wipe it down one more time, take some boiling water, pour it over every inch of your countertops, and make sure that it hits every spot. Dry it up right away. Your kitchen is now, your countertops are kosher. You can put things directly down onto them. Any cabinet that you don't want to use for Pesach stuff, close it up. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to remove it. Just put a piece of tape on it. Make your kids, they make a chametz sign. My kids will make you chametz signs, and you don't have to do anything with it. Yeah. Question?
Yeah.
Hold on. We have one more.
Gina had about the beach.
Oh, yeah. Gina. Gina asked about koshering at the beach. So I will tell you that while it is allowed, I would still tell you at this point, I think it is honestly better not to. I think it's better at this point to just rely on these kulos. These kulos are coming, and they are kulos, but you know, it's important to know when we're allowed to be makel as well. But you have to stay inside. And I think that's the most important thing, is that you're staying inside. So I would prefer people to rely on these for now. I'm going to rely on them. I'm not going to go to the beach. it's better just to stay home, rely on these culos, use them as needed. And then later we'll have a massive KJBS beach party. It'll be very exciting. We'll all go to the beach. We'll bring our everybody's pots and pans and we'll kash them all together. It'll be beautiful. If your stovetop is metal, you could kosher everything. I'm sorry, yes. If your stovetop, everything is metal, you could kosher the whole thing. You could pour hot water directly on top of it, and you can kosher it, and that would be kosherable, you know, as well. One more thing, Sensodyne toothpaste.
I said it was
okay. Sensodyne toothpaste is okay.
No. If you cover your counters, you don't have to pour
okay. If you cover your counters, you do not have to pour boiling water. Some people have a, a counter cover, thank you, that they just, some countertops can't be kosher because of the material. So if you want to put a counter, what's it called?
Counter cover.
Counter cover on top, that's fine. You just have to make sure, the most important thing to remember when you're using a counter cover is that if it doesn't really support hot food, then if you put a pot on top of it and that heat is going to go directly through and it's not going to stop and it's going to hit your countertop, that's a problem. So you just have to get something that is durable, that has real substance to it, that's a real, you know.
Even us, we have a thick counter cover, but we still put a towel under everything just because as thick as it is, it's still, you never know, you know, if it could withhold right. Like something that is so hot.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Dental floss. Good question. Dental floss is okay, but not flavored. If you get the mints or all the other flavors, then that would not be good. So if you, you know, or just don't get dental floss 1 week.
Quartz, can we?
Oh.
Quartz like granite.
Yes. The wax is okay, yes. Quartz, the material?
Yeah. Oh, and Nespresso machines out
there. Oh, I have not looked into Nespresso machines yet. I know. I have to look into it. A few people asked me about Keurigs. So because maybe more people are home and they quartzite or quartz?
Quartz, resin,
yeah. Quartz is fine to kosher. Quartz can be kosher. The Keurigs, I will send out a little later how to kosher Keurigs. The CRC does not recommend it. The OU does, and I think it's definitely okay to rely on that. How to kosher them, you want to take out the K-cup, and then you hold on. Didn't Aliza just ask me?
Not Nespresso.
All right. Yeah. How to kosher the... Hold on. Hold on a second. Yeah, with the Keurig, what you want to do is clean it. Don't use it for 24 hours, which could be difficult. Then take out the K-cup holder, pour boiling water that you just boiled, not from the urn, boiling water on the K-cup, and then run it with the Kosher Pesach K-cup. There are Kosher Pesach K-cups. You can go onto the CRC, it has a list. I can send it to you of Kosher Pesach K-cups, and you run it through once, and then you're good. Yes, I'm sorry. When I was referring to stoves, a stovetop, I was referring to a classic gas. If it's electric stovetop, then you do not need to leave it on for that long. You can leave your burners on for 10 minutes, and that would be good if you have an electric stovetop. If anything that you're not sure about, or you have questions about, just text me. Text me, call me. Electric stovetops with exposed coils, 10, 15 minutes, and then you're fine. One more thing about stovetops. We'll get to spices. This is wonderful. I'm glad everybody has my cell phone number. One more thing about stovetops. Your stoves all have the knobs. Those knobs are chametz stick. So either you can order new ones for Pesach, or wrap them in aluminum foil. You really can't just leave them. You can kosher them if you really want to, but it will burn them and destroy them. So don't do that. Just cover them with aluminum foil or order new ones. Now you have 2 weeks till to Pesach. You can order new ones
if stores are open.
Hold on, spices. So spices do need a kosher for Pesach. Hechsher. Certain ones are kidneys. Cumin, mustard, obviously, is kidneys. Other spices that are whole do not need kosher Pesach because it's just the whole spice. When it's ground, any spice that is ground does need a kosher Pesach symbol because that is processed. That's the basic idea in a lot of kashering for Pesach. Things that are processed like how frozen vegetables are made or how ground spices are made or ground meat, that's a next level, and that requires kosher Pesach. Anything that's whole, like spices that are whole, or like meat that is you bought a while ago, that is just a cut of meat, that's fine. Does not need a kosher Pesach. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Okay, so here's what we'll do. I think that's it for tonight, unless anyone has any other questions. Hi to my in-laws. Yeah, oh, Michael Glass, hold on. We're going to... Oh, no.
In Skokie, they said you could only keep one Seder.
Yes, but since we're trying to uphold all of Judaism here, we're going to keep the world going, so we will be doing two. But I heard Peterson Park, they said none. So we're doing the extreme. Tomorrow night, same time, I'm just going to do a little quicker, but just a run-through of the Seder. Some very important halachos of the Seder. Baruch Hashem, many people have usually had a very big families and big siddurim, and I know that's very difficult this year. We're trying to, we spent a lot of time this week with people that are not going away and people that aren't having family, and it's a very, very difficult situation. Yet, as we've seen through all of this, it does provide us an opportunity. For some of us, I asked my students today how many of them would be having Seder with their family for the first time, just them. Half their hands went up. So it's a challenge and it's very difficult, but it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity to like relearn some of these things that maybe we just did because the head of the Seder said, do it now. So we threw the matzah up in the air because my father-in-law said, throw it up in the air. And then we did a dance because that's what we thought we had to do. But now we're really running our own Seder and it's a chance to learn some of these laws and some of these halachos. So we'll go through what I think are some ways to make it fun, even if it's 2 people to 20 people. Whatever it may be, and at the same time, a quick run through of the key halachos we really have to know to fulfill the mitzvahs, both the rabbanon and the araisa, at the seder itself. So that'll be tomorrow night, part 2, 8:00. If you were here for this one and not here for the next one, you will lose points. But if you're here for both, you will gain points. Whoever has the glasses already have the most Pesach points out of anybody.
And the men won colorware. I don't know if you announced that.
Yes, the men did win colorware. I'm sorry. I was supposed to announce it. It's been a long 2 weeks. Okay, I wish everybody a wonderful night. I look forward to learning again tomorrow night at 8:00 as we continue to learn about the Seder itself. Any other questions, feel free to text, email, WhatsApp. Judy, go ahead.
With a wolf cooktop where you have the heavy grates, it's three sections of three grates that are heavy metal. And then you have the sealed burners. You have to cover those heavy grates.
Send me a picture of what it looks like, and I'll get back to you. And then also go to kjbs.org/donation, and then let me know. Okay?
All right. Wish everybody a wonderful night. Rabbi Liebtag /kjbs.
That's fine. Doesn't make a difference. I wish everybody a wonderful night. Thank you for joining, and we'll look forward to tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We'll come to you all, so we can all say good night.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for clapping, Chai Tova.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right.